We are walking through a sermon series entitled Identity, looking at the vision and values of Grace Community Church. What guides and directs us is the Word of God, and we put God's Word in front of us to keep us headed in the right direction. We're a church that's all about Jesus. Everything is all about Jesus because we recognize that that was our created purpose. We were made for God to be in relationship with Him and to worship Him. We find our joy, our completeness, our significance. Everything is found and satisfied in Jesus. Amen. As a result of that, we are on mission, like Van Den talked about. All of us on mission to share Christ and to become like Christ ourselves. But we have values at our church that help us achieve that end goal, that keep us on target in making it all about Jesus and becoming like Him and making disciples of Him. One of those values that we're going to be talking about today is the value of life worship. Passage for today, we're actually going to be just in one specific verse rather than a whole passage like usual. And so we're just going to go deep with this one verse, and that's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you you can go ahead and turn there. Romans 12, verse 1. Our values, again, they serve like guardrails on a mountain road that keep us on course. They're the sights that help align us to the target. Now, help me get started. I need a volunteer here this morning. I need a couple volunteers who, Jason, come on forward. I'll take a big boy. And Katie, you can come on down as well. All right. Now, I hope you're prepared and ready to get wet. I'm joking. All right. So what do we have here? Can you describe for the people way back in the bleachers in the nosebleed section?
Pitchers of water.
Water.
Piece of paper.
And there's a piece of paper on there for better viewing. All right. And so what do you suppose this is right here?
Red food coloring.
What kind of clothes do you have? Are they nice?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to. What I'd like for you, each of you, to do is I would like you to put in one drop of food coloring into the picture here. Just this picture, though. Okay, just this one, all right? So before you do that, I want you to just kind of be scientists here with me a little bit. So what do you suppose is going to happen when you...
It's going to turn all the water.
Yeah, so you think it's going to, like, permeate through the entire thing.
That really fast.
Okay,
but...
some scientists up here. Okay, all right. So there you go, my friend. One drop if you can. Ooh. All right, your job is done. The rest of the service here, we're just going to kind of watch and see what happens to that, okay? All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you. So in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus explains the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Leaven is another word for yeast that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. That's a lot of flour, all right? Till it was all leaven. So you put yeast in the dough and she let the dough set. And over time, the yeast worked itself out. The chemical reaction worked through the entirety of the dough. Now, I don't have any dough here for you to be able to observe and watch the leaven work in. It probably wouldn't work as well. But we do have water and food coloring to watch as the food coloring, like the yeast, will permeate the entire pitcher of water. This is the effect the kingdom of God is intended to have in our lives. It is to have a permeating effect, to reach and touch every part of what we are. We value life worship here at Grace Community Church. God deserves worship that permeates every aspect. From Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Father God, we come to you at this time to ask that your Spirit would open our hearts and illuminate us, Lord. We need to hear your word and let it have its desired effect and impact on us. And Spirit, I need you to come upon me to be your vessel to teach your word aright and fill me. Lord, we pray against the work of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, to snatch this word from our hearts, Lord God. Lord God, and to oppress or to attack me, Lord Jesus, that your word would not go forward. We surrender to you now. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I realize as I get started here that I had a senior moment. As a senior pastor, you're allowed to have senior moments, right? And so I forgot our God's Word for the week. And I want to jump back here real quick to do God's Word for the week. Did you already take him away? They're gone. Okay. Well, we had some kiddos here who had practiced God's Word of the week. And I forgot for us to go through that. So do we have any volunteers that are still remaining in the house that wanted to do God's Word for the week? Yeah? We've got Rachel and Luke in the back. Or Rachel and... Yes. Do it all for the glory of God. That's awesome. So good. Thank you so much, buddy. That is awesome. All right. Pray for your pastor in his senior moments. I tell you what. Good Lord. Well, we are... So jumping right in here, Romans 12, 1, life worship. Worship is to permeate every aspect of our lives here. With Romans 12, 1, when we come to this verse here, this is a significant verse that serves as like the hinge on a door, right? The book of Romans pivots on this verse here. You see, previously in the book of Romans, Paul was unpacking and explaining in great detail all that God had to do to bring us into his family, to make us right with him, that we could realize a created purpose of loving relationship with him and worship with him. So Paul uses the word therefore, building off of all that has happened, therefore pointing back to. He says, I appeal to you. This is a word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the counselor. What this word means in a general sense, when you see the word encourage or exhort, appeal, it means to come alongside and point to Jesus. And so the Spirit of God comes alongside us and points to the cross and points to Jesus. What Paul is doing is saying, I'm coming alongside you. I'm appealing. This is a passionate word. I'm pointing you. Look at the cross. What does he say there? I like the NIV's translation. In view of God's mercies. With it in mind, with it in your vision, look. Gaze upon what God has done in these previous 11 chapters that we've described. And he's continuing to do in your lives. Let's review that just a little bit here. In the beginning of Romans, Paul explains how in our the freedom that God has given us, that we rejected God and we said, I know we want to be God. I want to do what I want to do. I want the knowledge of good and evil so I can determine what's right and wrong for myself. Not you, God. That was sin. That was sin entering the world. Setting ourselves up against God. But not only that. So God said, have your way. Have your rebellious heart that wants to be separate from me. And you'll have that both now and for eternity. Separation from me. This goes deeper. Such that this is passed on to every generation throughout time. This sinfulness in our hearts, this rebellion, this rejection of God. No, I want to be in control of my life. I want to live for me. It's all about me. Such that Paul would say that there's no one who is good. No one does good. There's no one who is right. I mean, think about that. We might fight with that word from Paul. No one is good. What are you talking about? Paul is meaning by this, the word good, how you define it changes everything. You see, what is good is about Jesus. What is good is about glorifying him. That's what the biblical definition of goodness is it's all about him. Our actions that we do here on earth, if they are about anything else, if they have the purpose, the end does not for God and his glory, it's not good. Everything is tainted by our own selfishness, self-centeredness, our own pride, our own work, our own efforts. None of us are good. In fact, it goes on to say we're dead. We're dead in our transgressions. We're dead in our sin. We wouldn't even choose God. It's a bad story, friends, that we're caught up in. But God intervened. And Paul explains in Romans 3, for all of us are sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, but we're freely justified through Jesus. God sent his own Son. Jesus came giving up all his glory, giving up everything that he's entitled to come and to step into our place. And so he lived the life in relationship with God that we couldn't live. And he paid the penalty of our sin. We all deserve justice. And he gives us, the word talks about, he imputes to us, he gives to us his righteousness. So God, if we come and trust in Jesus for our salvation, God doesn't look and see our sin. He looks and he sees his Son. He's given us his righteousness if we trust in him. Jesus came to step in our way. And I love the verses in Romans 5 that just powerfully describe this. Romans 5 says that we were powerless, but while we were still powerless, meaning we couldn't come to God on our own, we're slaves is what the word describes us, slaves to our own sin. We can't leave this bondage of living for ourselves and choose God. We're powerless. And so Christ came to set us free, to intervene, that we could choose God. He goes on to say that while we were still sinners, while we were still rejected by God, while we were still lost in our dirtiness and our filth and running away from God, God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. He didn't wait for you to become perfect like Jesus. He didn't wait for you to get the crud and the junk and the self-centeredness out of your life and be good enough, because it's not possible. He came in the midst of your sin to show his love for you. But he goes beyond that. He says, while we were his enemies. We can't appreciate the love of God if we don't recognize the depths of our sin. In our sin, we reject God. We are his enemies. View of God's mercy. Worship is our only proper response to God and his goodness. When we get the graciousness, the mercy of God, that he came and pursued us when we're running from him, and he made us his family, if by his Spirit we stop and surrender and say, take me. I surrender. We can't help but respond with gratitude. We can't help but respond with saying, you are so good. You are so worthy. I see how depraved I am. There's no other response that is appropriate, but you are so awesome that you created all things. You're all powerful and almighty. And you would choose me. You would pursue me. You would take my place. Take hell for me. Well, Paul taps in these verses as he describes our response is worship to the mercies of God when we are gripped by them. He's tapping a created reality within our hearts. We were created for worship. We were all created for worship. And we worship something. We devote our lives and live for something. We're motivated by, ultimately, something in our lives, whether it's selfish, whether it relates to others. The question is, what are we worshiping? In our sin, we reject God and we worship anything else but God. We make anything, a relationship, a person, a thing, a phone. We can make anything, a football team. Watch out now. Take that earpiece out of your ear right now. Vikings are winning. Don't worry. I'm speaking prophetically. I have no devices on me. You can check. We're made to worship. What are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Worship is our only proper response to God and his goodness. In view of God's mercies, how will you keep his mercy in your vision, in your view? Because it primes the pump for us to praise and to be reconciled with our created purpose. But he goes on there saying, describing this worship. In view of God's mercies, offer your bodies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This word used for worship here Generally, the word in worship of worship in the scriptures means literally to bow down. There is a physical reality that corresponds with this heart truth, with this intellectual truth. It is to bow down before God. Think of that. When was the last time that you physically bowed down? The word for worship here more particularly specifies this focus of bowing down in the sacrificial system. Focuses on the sacrificial system of the priests in the Old Testament. So we see the word sacrifice used here. Now, what happened in the Old Testament is that sacrifice was, it was like a bull or lamb, and it was slaughtered, it was killed, it was put on the altar. All right? And it was burned up to God. Now, gratefully, God is not asking that we be slaughtered sacrifices. There wouldn't be a lot of worship and praising going on, right? Be a problem there. But he uses three adjectives here to describe this sacrifice. What's the first? He describes it as a living sacrifice. Now, this is twofold here. He obviously doesn't want us to be slaughtered, killed, and burnt up on a physical table, okay? He wants us, our sacrifice, to be part of our everyday lifestyle. You see, Jesus, he reminds his disciples, anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To follow Jesus, worship is an everyday expression of I'm dying to myself. And we talked about earlier, the vision, the purpose of Grace Community Church is that it's all about Jesus. We're all about Jesus. You see, this part of what God liberates us from is ourselves. We must die to ourselves. If a life worship, if we're to live in worship, we must die to self-centeredness, to this pride, to I want to be about me and I want to be in control of my own life. I want to live for me. And everybody else should serve me as well. A living sacrifice means that we're actively dying to ourselves. Like John the Baptist says, he must increase. That is our life. In addition, it is that resurrection life that Jesus can experience, that resurrection life, because the resurrection happens only after death. The other adjective used here by Paul is holy. The sacrifice is holy in addition to living. It means it is set apart. We exist to let God define and determine who we are and how we will be in this world. We're going to be set apart by him. This is part of our surrender. We're dying to ourselves, but we're letting him be our king, to be our ruler. That we will not live according to the patterns and the ways of this world. Paul goes on in the next verse, don't conform to the pattern of this world. We're to be holy. We let his word shape us, lead us, direct us. We surrender. And every day is an expression, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. Let me follow your ways. Sit on the throne of my heart and my life. And then thirdly, what is that, that third adjective that describes the sacrifice? Pleasing. This is that desire within us. That not only do we do and follow and obey and let God be on the throne, but we do it because we desire to pleasure him. We desire to please him. We desire to bring what is acceptable to his heart. We want to know, God, what brings you glory? What brings you praise? What honors you? We desire that you be pleased. The attitude of our heart is shifted. It's not merely duty. It's delight. Worship. Worship of God is sacrificing ourselves to honor and delight in God as God. Paul continues on here. view of God's mercies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The word there that Paul uses as bodies is intended to communicate our entire self. Not an aspect, not just our mouths, not just our hands, not just our feet, our whole bodies, our entire lives are to be expressed by worship. Worship is to shape every sphere of our life with the sacred. Sin, earlier in Romans, Paul explained that there is nothing that we could do as good. In our sin, absolutely everything we touched was tainted by our sin. But in the work and the mercies of God, through the Spirit of God, everything we do can now be worshiped. Elevate the Father. Now be an expression of joy, living out our created purpose, living that resurrected life as we die to ourselves. Every aspect of our lives can be worship. But we must join in God's Spirit in us. As he speaks in Romans 8, his Spirit is pulsing in us with the love of the Father, crying out, Abba, Daddy. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul brings this up, and this is our memory verse for this week. How this is to be true, that whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now think about this really. Have you considered it? You're all going to go home here. We're going to have lunch. You're going to eat some food. And do you ever consciously think about your eating? Are you worshiping in your eating, in your drinking? It's not quite the same as, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. So good, Jesus. It's not like you have to audibly in your mouth be talking while you're eating. That's a little awkward, right? But there's this sense of worshiping the Lord in everything, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do. So there's an attitude piece here. Lord, what I have is yours. Thank you for this meal. Every good gift I know comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The attitude that we have in our daily life, whether it's work or our relationships. Lord, I want to relate to my friends, to my spouse, to my children. I want to relate in ways that honor you. There's ethics or worship shaping our lives. I mean that there's ethics. There's a particular ways in which we live. We want to do things specifically in ways that love the Lord. So when my relationships, Lord, I want you to shape my behavior such that it's love. It's love towards my friends, my neighbor, my spouse, my children. Because I know that's honoring to you. That I'm concerned about justice for the oppressed and marginalized in our society, because that's honoring to you, because you love them and you're considered that justice is part of your character. Our work is worship. Your relationships are worship. Your private thought life, worship. Your time with the guys, is it worship? Your time with the ladies, your hobbies, your recreation. When you're watching the Vikings win and the Packers lose. Or vice versa. You let the Lord worship? Will you let him be worshipped in those spaces? How will it shape your motivation? Why do we do these things? Do we let these things become ultimate things, or do these things become opportunities to express he is good? We can enjoy them, recognizing they're good gifts from him. We can do them for the purpose of, I'm going to work at this at my workplace. I'm going to work hard and I'm going to be a good employee because I want to honor the Lord. I'm not just doing this to get a good job, to get a paycheck. I'm not just doing this to get the accolades and get the prestige and the position. How about the other aspects of our lives, our time, Do we let the Lord use this? Do we let the Lord to have determination? Are we going to let our time be used by the Lord? Our giftings, you are all, everyone in here is uniquely and intrinsically made with specific gifts. God made each of you with his own word, with his own hands, and he desired you for himself. How are you using your uniqueness to express worship and to bless others and to further his mission? Life worship doesn't mean that we all become pastors or monks or go into the ministry or whatever. You're all ministers. The question is whether or not we're going to let worship express itself in every aspect of our lives. Will we love our neighbors enough to share Christ with them? And our treasure, we talked about that earlier, offering. One of the hardest places for us to express worship is with our finances. We tend as human beings to compartmentalize. And we say worship is something that we do here on Sundays. It's something we do with our mouths. It's songs we sing. We compartmentalize. We specify it to one area of our lives. How many homeowners do we have in the house here? You had to all go through the process of looking for that home, filing all the paperwork and buying that home. And how many of you, when you bought that house and you went in closing day, you went to take it in, you went to move it in, and you found that there was maybe this closet and a couple of rooms, they were all locked up and said, don't enter, because the previous owner was still occupying that space. So this is my space. You have the rest of the house, but this is my space. Anybody? Of course not. It's absurd, right? They have no right over that space. Because it's your house. You signed the papers. You paid the whole lot of... You signed your life away to buy that house. You put some money in there. It's your house. Right? You know what the Word of God says? That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And what did Jesus do with his blood? We are no longer ourselves. We are no longer belong to ourselves. We have no right to say to the Lord, hey, this is my closet. This is my man cave. Off limits, Jesus. We have no right to compartmentalize our worship, to not let him liberate us, to have it all. A question for us today is, where are those rooms in your heart, in your life, that you're cutting off Jesus? You're not letting his mercy reach into that area and liberate you to let it be all about him. And you're still holding on. This is my space. What areas of your life have not been touched and do not express the Lord is your life? How do we do this? How do we return? How do we repent and turn around and surrender? It's just like Paul said, in view of God's mercy, we got to come this morning as we finish up this morning, friends. Where does this all start? It starts with looking upon and gazing upon the mercies of God, how good he is, what he did with his son and pursuing us while we're running from him. We look at his grace and his mercy that he's offered us. Is he not worthy of having all of us? He's already... Is he not worthy of us letting every aspect of our lives be worshiped to him? In our attitude, in our motivation, in our behavior, in our actions. Here at Grace Community Church, we strive to be a church that values worship because God deserves worship that permeates our lives. What do you notice about the water? What do you notice about it?
Pink.
It's pink. It's completely permeated. We could say the blood of Jesus. May our lives, may our church be characterized by worship that permeates everything. Amen?
Amen?
Let us be known for our worship, not for our singing, but for our lives. So let us, friends, this morning come and let's, as we close things out, let's gaze upon his mercy. And maybe there's this place that you're stuck in your life and you know the Spirit of God is saying, you need to let me in. You're holding on to this. I want you to come. I want you to seek the Lord. Surrender this morning. I'll be available for prayer. We'll have some of our elders in the back available for prayer as well, and their wives. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on forward as we pray out here. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's let all of our lives be characterized and touched by worship. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. And Lord, we want our lives to be like this water, where that drop, that color permeated everything. Lord, we're stuck. These areas of our hearts and our lives, Lord Jesus, we know that you deserve to have it all. But we're struggling to let it go now, to let you have it all. And Lord, we bring our little bit. Lord Jesus, help me let go. Help me let you in. Help me let you have it all. Lord Jesus, I want you. In view of your mercy, I can't stop resisting you. If the Lord is working on you, just feel free to take time, though we dismiss here, to continue to stay with the Lord and what he's doing in your heart and your life here. Friends, as we go forward in the mission field, just the very fact that we think it's a mission field is part of that worship. We set our lives apart. Let us be sacrifices that are holy, living, pleasing to God. May we be a church of worship. Amen? Amen. Y'all be blessed. Have a fantastic day.